Keith Miller describes the difficulty he had learning to have a prayer life. He got up early to pray, and he stumbled around the house, bothering everybody. His little daughter came to him while he was on his knees and asked him, "What are you doing, Daddy?" "Don't bother me, honey. I'm trying to pray." Then she asked him again, "What are you doing, Daddy?" "Go on, honey. Daddy's busy." "Let's play, Daddy." Exasperated, Keith said to her, "Will you leave me alone? I'm trying to pray." Then she ran to her mother, who is at this time fixing breakfast. "What's wrong with Daddy?" "Leave Daddy alone, honey. Daddy's got to pray so he can be Christian to the people downtown." Ouch. Today's scripture from Colossians is about being a Christian. Imagine you're at your dinner table, and imagine the head chair. It's like the Apostle Paul is sitting there at the head church at the church of Colossae and says, "This is how we do things as the family of God." This is family talk. Christians, you are chosen by God. Christians, you are beloved of God. Christians, you are set aside for service to God. There are things that we do as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, and there are things that we just don't do. Those who celebrate the birth of our Savior into the world put on compassion and kindness and humbleness and gentleness and patience. We are called to be tolerant of one another, and we are to forgive one another. These are the clothes that Christians put on. And over and above all of that, the bond of love and letting the peace of Christ rule our hearts. The context of this family talk comes earlier in this chapter. Paul calls on us to practice holy living. He's thinking about baptism. In the early church, when they came out of those waters, they put on a brand new robe because that old life was gone. And as they came out of those waters, they were a brand new person. The old life was discarded. They were being born into a new life, dying to the old, being raised with Jesus Christ. And they wait with him for the final fulfillment in heaven. Isn't this why Jesus came into the world? To be our Savior forever and ever and ever? I love that song, "Mary, Did You Know That Your Baby Will Walk on Water? That Your Baby Will Save Our Sons and Daughters? Mary, did you know your baby has come to make you new? Did you know he will give sight to the blind? That he will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know he has walked where angels walk? And when you kiss your baby, you are kissing the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? The child you're holding is the great I Am." We celebrate Christmas because of Good Friday. We celebrate Christmas because of Easter. When I was a boy in Western New York, I enjoyed exploring our neighborhood. I was a Boy Scout. My two brothers were Boy Scouts, and we would camp out and cook out and just enjoyed that, those kinds of activities. One day we were crossing a field that we were unfamiliar with, exploring some new territory, and it was after the snow had melted and the field was very soft. And everything was fine. We were a little, feet were a little muddy, but it was okay. We were boys. And then my brother started sinking, and he was up to his waist in mud. And so it took my brother and I, the two of us were younger than he and much smaller than he. When we got him out, we were all mud from head to toe. So when we got home, of course, all of those clothes needed taken off, and we put on brand new clothes. This is what Paul's image is for us this morning. Take off that old life, you who have celebrated the birth of the Savior of the world. A cartoon showed some travelers in front of a sign. They were there with their suitcases, and the sign said, "Fly Treetops Airways. Breakfast in New York. Lunch in London. Dinner in Paris." And then an unhappy traveler added to the sign, "Luggage in Tokyo." As we approach a brand new year, there's some luggage from our old life that we need to intentionally discard. That handbag of animosity, that duffel bag of revenge. As Christians, we can't carry into the new year old grudges and unforgivable acts and merciless attitudes. Like those muddy clothes, we need to let all of that stuff from the old life go. We're called to let Jesus reign in our hearts. The second lesson for Christmas Eve for centuries has been Titus 2, 11 to 14. It says, "The Savior came to redeem and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds." We're called to be purified, and we're called to be zealous in good deeds. What did John Wesley say? He said, "Do all the good you can in all the ways you can, so long as you can." Christmas is about renewal. Even our culture knows Christmas is about peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And in the church, we know that Christmas is about Jesus saving us from our sin and purifying us, giving us victory over sin, and giving us victory for eternal life. Christ's coming is for the redemption and the purification of a people who are zealous for doing good. Therefore, we need to put on the right clothes. We need the right clothes. Galatians puts it this way, Galatians 3:27, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ." That's a simple way of looking at it. You have taken on yourself Jesus, the image, the example, the model, Jesus. Just as Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger, as we celebrate his birth, we are to put on Jesus. It's as simple as that. Put away anger. Put away malice. Put away slander. Put away filthy language. Do not lie. Put on the new clothes of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and tolerance and forgiveness. Think of all the acts of mercy that have been done in the name of Jesus over the world since Jesus came 2,000 or so years ago. William Barclay says, "It is not too much to say that everything done for the aged, for the sick, the weak in body and mind, the animal, the child, the woman, has been done through the inspiration of Christianity." Think about it. Think about all the work the Salvation Army has done. Think about all the wonderful work Goodwill has done. Think about what the Board of Global Ministries in your name across the world has been doing for so many years. Just so many wonderful things. Think about what UMCOR has done. Think about what our children's home has done in your name for our hurting children here in Florida. And now, isn't it good news? We have a new campus at Madison, expanding this ministry in so many different ways. Don Bates told me that we haven't raised our goal in several years for the children's home. Let me challenge you to put on compassion and double your efforts. I believe this church can reach the goal. And that means we all have to take up the slack for folks who aren't coming and who should be contributing to the children's home. But we can do it. We should do it as we put on compassion in the name of Christ. I'm proud to say that I've had two of my children serve as house parents at the children's home. My daughter went there first with her husband and her little girl, and they spent several years, and that meant both parents could be home with my granddaughter as well as the children in their cottage, and then my son and his wife and their son were there serving as house parents. And Don was visiting with me this week, and as I came to work on this, I said to Donald, "Can you tell me a story about one of those kids?" I was thinking maybe it was a story I could tell you, but I can't. It'd break your heart. I was totally shocked by what he told me, what that girl was living in as she came unto the safety and the love of the house parents there at the children's home. Put on kindness. Goodness by itself can be stern, can it? Put on kindness. Our model is not the nun with the ruler rapping knuckles. Our model is Jesus, who, with a woman who's been a sinner, the kindness that he showed her. He was full of grace, loving us, dying for us. Do you want to know the heart of God? Look at Jesus. God in the flesh, loving us, kind to us, dying for us. Put on humility. Core to our faith is the belief that we are sinners saved by God's grace. In the presence of God, we're all debtors. We can't feel anything but humility and gratitude to God. Besides, Jesus died for all of us, didn't he? All of us. That means our brothers and sisters are part of God's family. So there's no room for arrogance among us. We're called to be clothed with gentleness. Gentleness is self-control. Why? Because we're God-controlled. Gentleness is always angry at the right things and never angry at the wrong things. Yes, Christians are called to be angry just as Jesus got angry, but at the right things. And we are to put on patience. Human patience is a reflection of God's patience, who bears with our sinning and never casts us off. Earlier, we prayed the Lord's prayer together. Jesus taught us that we are to put on forgiveness. As God forgave us, so we are to forgive one another. Forgiveness is not an option for Christians, is it? It's essential to who we are and what we believe. It's essential to believing that Christ died for us. God knows this isn't easy. He knows it's hard for us. We do not release our hurts easily, and some pain is very, very, very hard to release. Forgiveness is not saying it was okay, it wasn't. Forgiveness gives it to God. Terry Anderson, a hostage in Lebanon for 7 years, tells of the healing power of forgiveness. He was a Catholic, and so he was taught to forgive. But it never became real to him until he was a captive those 7 years, and he began to forgive his captors. And that journey didn't happen after he was released. It happened while he was still a captive. Martin Luther says the continual forgiveness of the neighbor is the primary and foremost duty of Christians, second only to faith and the receiving of the forgiveness into our own hearts, as our children's sermon was about. Why? Because we're not always the sweetest people, are we? We get offended, but we are to repay wrong with grace, just as God has forgiven us. And over all of those clothes, we're to put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. What a wonderful thing it is in the church when the church is of one accord, when the church loves one another and cares about one another and respects one another. If these bonds of love are strong within the church, it's amazing the thing the church can do. But when those bonds of love are not there, when we're not tied together with respect and caring for one another, it really creates havoc in the body of Christ, and we become paralyzed. Love, John Wesley says, contains the whole of Christian holiness and connects all the parts together. The church is called to let Jesus reign as Lord over our relationships, over our worship, over what we say, over what we do. And the peace of Christ must control our hearts. Literally, what Paul is saying, the peace of Christ should be the umpire of our relationship. If Jesus is our umpire, then when we clash and when we're going in two different directions, the way of love of Christ will hold us together as the body that we're called to be. The Word of God is to live richly in us. We're called to teach one another and warn one another and sing to God with gratitude. The people of God are a people of song. What a wonderful service it would have been if we had just sung Christmas hymns today, wouldn't it? The hymns allow us to express gratitude and thanksgiving and sorrow and triumph and joys and prayer. We sing to God and God inspires our song. Whatever you do, in speech or action, do it in the name of Jesus, and give thanks to God through him. This passage for the first Sunday after Christmas is very intentional by the church. The church chose this passage because the church knows that a lot of our Christmas celebrations, Jesus isn't there. But this passage puts Jesus right in the center of everything, in our hearts and in our lives together. Everything we say or do should be in Jesus' name. One of the best tests we can make as faithful Christians is, can we do it in the name of Jesus? Can we ask Jesus to help us with whatever it is that we're trying to do? Can we speak of this and the name of Jesus at the same time? Let Jesus reign in your heart. John Wesley, in his covenant service at the end of each year, would say to the people called Methodist, commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Give yourself to him that you may belong to him. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we please Christ and we please ourselves. But there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. I'd like for us to close with a prayer by John Wesley. If you would repeat it after me, let us pray. Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give up myself to your will in all things. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully in your hands. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure. Amen.